Over the last few weeks, I've had a lot of conversations with you about how the quarantine life has had an effect on your emotions. And last week, we looked at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 to 15. And as we looked at that, we see that the teacher of Ecclesiastes told us that there is a time for everything under the heavens. And we talked about how God is in control of everything, which allows us to experience the time we're in with Him and in light of Him. And one of the things that we have a time of right now, and as it says in that scripture, is a time of mourning. So many of us are feeling this sense of sorrow and sadness. Some have expressed a sense of anger as they've thought about the things that are going on in the world, or as they've reacted to people around them. Now, I can't share all of those experiences with you, but I want to share with you my experience, because I think having an understanding of what others are going through is helpful for us to know that we are not alone. And it's something that will help frame for us these scriptures as we look at them that help us deal with the time that we're in. And so my story is a story probably just like yours, where over the last couple of months, I've been dealing with a lot of uncertainty. You know, as a husband, as a father, as a pastor, there's all these unknowns which I'm trying to navigate through. And as we navigate through the different things, as we think about future of life as a family, as I think about where our church is going, all sorts of different thoughts and emotions start to bubble up within me. Now, some of those thoughts and emotions are normal, and some aren't so normal to me. Now, I'm a pretty emotional guy. Those people who know me know that I experience sort of the highs and lows, but typically, I know exactly where they're coming from, and I work to manage those things that are negative and to experience in fullness those things that are good. But as I've gone through these last few weeks, I've been surprised at how sometimes it's just 8 o'clock at night and I'm just absolutely wiped. I mean, just processing through it all, I'm just zonked out. And that's unusual for me. I'm a night owl and I love to be up and vibrant. But it's not just the energy levels. It's the sense of sometimes anxiety or sometimes melancholy at looking at the world around. And there's times where, as much as I hate to admit it, I'm grumpy and I can easily snap, and it doesn't even take provocation. I'm just there, and I'm surprised, in fact, sometimes as those emotions come out. And all these things, I think, are things that many of us are experiencing. They're the stories of the people who I've had conversations with. And so before we dive in this morning, I thought what would be helpful is if we ask ourselves a couple of questions. So right now, I want you to ask yourself these two questions. What have I been feeling over the last couple of days? And what thoughts and questions have come to the surface because of it? Go ahead, wherever you are right now, ask yourself those two questions. Do you find yourself feeling the way that I feel or that I've expressed that others have felt? Well, if you don't, that's okay. How you're feeling is how you're feeling, and there's nothing wrong with the experience that you're having, but what I would urge you not to do is to tune out right now. You might say, well, I'm not experiencing this grief and the sorrow and this anger, so I don't need to listen to this message. But I would urge you to do it, because at some point, whether just around the corner or later on, you will experience grief. You will have questions that stem from grief, like questions of suffering and what's going on in the world. And at that time, you don't want to be surprised by what you're going through, but instead, you want to be encouraged by what Scripture has to say to you. You want to be equipped for what's coming forward so that you're better prepared to handle the experience that you're in. You don't want to be caught off guard like me. But for those of us who know exactly what I'm talking about, those feelings and those questions that just continue to surface, I want to let you know that you are not alone. You're not alone in this. I've felt it, others have felt it. In fact, as we look at Scripture, we'll see that many people have felt this. So many people through time and history have experienced suffering and pain and grief. The Bible doesn't shy away from that topic. We see it there in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, which we'll come to in just a moment, but we also see it so many other places. In the Psalms, 40% of them, 40% of this great book of songs and poems is full of psalms of lament, which are songs that express sadness and sorrow to God. We have other books like the book of Job, which explores suffering. The book of Lamentations, again, a book dedicated all towards lamenting. Scripture tells us that we will experience suffering and sadness. But what we need to also understand is that Scripture gives us a hope and a way forward in those situations. And so now this morning, what I'd like us to do is start by remembering that great, beautiful poem at the beginning of chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes, that there is a time for everything. And then we'll move on to hearing what Scripture has to say for how we walk through the present time we find ourselves in. Let's read Ecclesiastes chapter 3, 1-8, then verse 14. There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search. A time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. Then in verse 14, I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it so that people will fear him. There's a time for everything under the heavens, which means there's a time for us to think about and process through the emotions that we're feeling. And there's a time for us to really consider how that should impact us and how that should shape us. And of course, we all want to do what's better for us than worse. And so, as I mentioned, we're going to walk through the ideas of processing our grief and questions of suffering, and view that as a lens for how we can grow closer to Jesus. So let's start with this idea that there's a time for grief, and think about how we might be able to deal with that. So the first question we have to ask is that question of, is this what I'm feeling? What is grief? How does that affect me? And it affects people in a whole lot of different ways. But it all stems from one source. Psychology Today defines grief as the pain that accompanies loss. And that means any kind of loss. They don't caveat that to say just loss of a loved one or loss of a possession, but it's any type of loss can lead us to a place where we experience pain from that loss. And that pain can have a whole bunch of different presentations. It behaves in a different way for all of us. Many of us are familiar with the five stages of grief. The five stages are denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. And while a lot of us are familiar with that process, what we don't realize is that we can experience that in a non-linear way. We don't have to move from denial slowly forward to acceptance, but we can actually experience bargaining and then jump over to depression and then realize that we have some denial and then go through some acceptance. In fact, we don't even have to go through all the stages. We can actually go through just some of them. And sometimes we'll move forward in a slow and steady pace. Other times we'll race through some of those stages and then circle back. But whatever you're experiencing, the reality is that it stems from one thing, the pain of a loss. And we've all lost something. We've lost our freedom. As we've been quarantined and dealing with social distancing, we've lost our connection with some of our friends and loved ones. Some of us have lost jobs. We've lost our health. We've lost all sorts of different events that we were looking forward to and hoping were going to be significant things, like graduations or camping trips, family vacations. All of these things have sort of come as we expected them, and then poof, they're gone. And so we experience loss. But some of us even live right now in a state of anticipated loss. We anticipate that perhaps there's someone in our lives who's unwell, and we're concerned that the coronavirus might affect them and that we might lose a loved one, particularly if we have a loved one in a care home somewhere as we see the outbreak there. But we also are anticipating loss as we think about the way that the government and the world is unrolling things for the future. Am I going to be able to do the things that I love to do? Are they going to change forever? Really, many of us just want things to stay the same, but we know they won't be. And so we have this sense of loss. And what happens when we experience those things? Well, for many of us, that's when sort of our ugly selves rear its head, or some of the nasty ways that grief can come out start to flourish. We see things like anger and that lashing out at other people, whether we mean it or not. We feel guilt sometimes at loving the things we love and not wanting to stay isolated, but we want to jump in on something and we know we can't. We experience sadness to the point of despair sometimes. Some of us are experiencing shock and confusion, while others are experiencing being just lethargic and lazy. And normally these aren't things that we like to think about coming from ourselves, and they're the things we fight against. But these are the realities of expressions of ourselves that come from grief. Does any of that sound familiar to you? Are you seeing that in your own life or in the life of another? Well, what you need to know is that these responses are quite normal. These are things that are common amongst all of us. And while there are some healthy ways to express grief and some unhealthy ways, these are things that are common to us all. You're not alone as you experience them. Now, I do want to take a second and just express that if for some reason you are experiencing the type of grief that's leading you towards a place of considering self-harm or the harm of other, you do need to seek medical profession. You just need help that way, because God has granted us these wonderful people who have knowledge and skills to help heal us. And so I would encourage you to, if you're feeling that way, to look into the sermon notes, and there you'll find a phone number of someone that you can call to talk through these things. God has gifted us with that as well as the scripture that we're going to talk about. But if we're not in this place where we're experiencing something that leads us to need professional help, we are in a place where we all need some type of help. We need to understand how we can get through this, because we don't want to live in a state of perpetual grief. And as I mentioned last week, Scripture is a great place to go. Scripture is full of examples of how to go through this in a healthy way. In the Psalms, all this book of songs and poetry, 40% of what you find there will be songs of lament. These are songs where we hear expressions of sadness and sorrow to God. There's also great places elsewhere in Scripture, like the book of Job or the book of Lamentations, that we can read and encounter how people have expressed grief to God and how God has responded to them. So as we go through Scripture, we see that we are able to hear from God in grief. And in fact, what I think and what C.S. Lewis once said is that our grief is a place that God is speaking to us. C.S. Lewis wrote this. He said, "God whispers to us in pleasure. He speaks to us in our conscience, but he shouts in our pain." So how do we go about listening to God through the pain of loss? Well, what I would encourage us to do is be intentionally reflective. as we reflect on what we're experiencing, we have the opportunity to not allow it to consume us, but to use what we're experiencing to shape us and lead us forward. One question that I would encourage you to ask, or a couple questions, is what I'm grieving the loss of something that God loves? Is it something that God cares about and wants for my life? Or is this thing that I'm grieving something that's really going to leave me unfulfilled? Maybe it's something God doesn't want for me. And as you process those questions, go to God in prayer. Allow His Holy Spirit to reveal to you what's truly lying at the root of those questions. As you do that, you're going to find that there's times where God says, yes, this is something I love and care about, something I want for you, and that's going to shape how you respond to that in the coming days. But there's going to be other things where it's going to be a harsh reality. There's going to be a truth that is revealed to you that there's something within that hope, something within that thing you lost that's actually not good for you. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes a heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Sometimes our grief comes from the fact that we are longing for something that will always leave us empty. There's something that you have trusted in, that you have hoped in to provide something for you, and now in this season it's been ripped away and you realize it really has no power. And those things, Scripture tells us, makes our heart sick. Those things overwhelm us and bring sadness and grief into our life. But there are other things. There are things that we can hope for, that we can long for, that we trust are going to be a tree of life. They're going to bring flourishing and fruit into our lives. And so we go to God and we ask Him, Lord, how is this thing that I'm grieving going to affect my heart? Is it going to bring sickness or is it going to bring health? Now, as you go through that, I'm not going to kind of blow smoke and tell you that there's no pain involved. There will be hurt, but it's different than harm. Dr. Henry Cloud, who's a clinical psychologist who happens to be a Christian, says this. He says, there's a big difference between hurt and harm. We all hurt sometimes in facing hard truths, but it makes us grow. Facing reality is usually not a damaging experience, even though it can hurt. This is the truth that we see all throughout Scripture, that God wants us to be people who flourish, who have lives that are just full of fruit. He wants good things for us. But sometimes we have to go through the hard process of losing things and grieving things in order to allow Him to uproot something, to plant new things down within our hearts. We call this process sanctification. Now, sanctification is really just a big theological term. That means that it's the process of becoming more holy or more like Jesus, which is what we want as followers of Jesus. And so as I think about this grief that's come before us, as I think about the situation that's affecting us around the world, what I've come to realize is this season of grief and pain isn't a curse, but it's in fact a blessing. It's an opportunity for us to look at what lies deepest down within us and see how we can look for more flourishing, how we can allow God to produce more fruit. So take an opportunity today, this week, to just sit down. Write a list of the things that you're grieving the loss of and turn them over to the Lord. Ask Him to reveal the truth, even if it hurts, to allow Him the opportunity to plant new life-bearing life within your life. So consider that a challenge for the week. But what about this idea of suffering? When we grieve, when we go through hard things, that's when this question comes about, isn't it? I don't know many people who wrestle with questions like, why is there suffering? Or why does God allow evil when times are good? We just don't think about it then. But suddenly, when we're thrown off our norm, we start to wrestle with that question. And it can be actually an incredibly powerful question for us to ask. Sometimes people dismiss the fact that those hard questions, we shouldn't have them because it doubts and it means we don't trust in Jesus. But I would actually encourage you to explore that. Because I think as we ask those questions, it's just like grief. We have an opportunity to grow closer to God through our exploration of the questions that come to mind in this season of our life. There's a time to explore these questions. Now, as we think about the idea of suffering, what we have to come to is a biblical understanding of suffering. Our culture, our Western wealthy culture, does not have a healthy view of suffering. In fact, rich, wealthy, post-Christian Western cultures are the sickest cultures around suffering. We think for some twisted reason that we should never experience pain, that life should always be good, that we should always have a solution. And you know how much of the world thinks about that? Not very much. In fact, you'll see in almost every other philosophical framework around the world, whether it's an Eastern philosophy, whether it's any form of religion outside of a secular Western culture, you will see that there's an anticipation of suffering. And we just need to learn how to respond to it. And that's the truth with what Scripture tells us. It doesn't tell us that there's going to be no pain. It doesn't tell us that there's going to be no suffering. But it says there will be suffering, but with suffering, there's an opportunity. One of the best places to go to understand suffering is the book of 1 Peter. And I love this picture in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, where Peter writes this. He says, "In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." Whenever you read about grief and suffering, trials and challenges in the Bible, you'll see that there's an opportunity. There's an opportunity for us to become more like Jesus, to have our faith refined, and it's an opportunity for God to be brought glory. When we see suffering throughout Scripture, there's a common metaphor, which is this picture of a fiery furnace. Now, when we think of a fiery furnace, or at least when I think of one, I often have this kind of cartoonish picture of hell. You know, it's all fiery and it's terrible, and we want to stay away from that. But in Scripture, what this picture of a fiery furnace is, isn't that, but it's a forge. What's a forge used for? It's used for refining metals. It's used to purify, take out imperfections out of things that are being made. It's used to shape and beautify some form of raw metal into something good and useful, or something that the owner will be pleased with. And that's what we see in Scripture, that our suffering, that our trials, that our challenges are there to create something beautiful. Tim Keller explains in his book, Walking with God Through Pain and Suffering, that a forge, if used properly, does not destroy. Things put into the furnace properly can be shaped, refined, purified, and even beautified. He said that this is a remarkable view of suffering, that if we face and endure it with faith, it can in the end only make us better, stronger, and more filled with greatness and joy. Suffering, then, actually uses evil against itself. It can thwart the destructive purposes of evil and bring light and life out of darkness and death. One of the present things that's going on is suffering. We know that. We experience it. We see it in the news. We experience it in our own lives. And I want to suggest that this isn't something that we should look as something that is being inflicted on us. Rather, we should view it as an opportunity to enter into a forge. Now, I don't want to say that God is inflicting pain and punishment. I don't know why this is happening and the way it's happening, what caused it, whether it was God or whether it was evil. But what we do know is that Scripture tells us that God promises us that whether it's something good from Him, whether it's something He gives us in our life to challenge us, or whether it's something evil that comes about because of a broken and sinful world, that He will use it for His good. And so we have an opportunity to respond then and to experience that good that He wants to produce out of that. And so when we're confronted with this situation, when we ask ourselves this difficult question, we should ask ourselves a lot more. One of the things I think that is helpful for many of us when we experience suffering is asking ourselves, is my view of God changed by this? Do I think that God is good and God is wonderful only when things are going well for me? Or do I believe that God is good and God is powerful and he is working in spite of the things that come against me? That's an important question that helps us sort of test our faith, as Peter says. For many of us as well, this is an opportunity to refine the impurities of our life. If you're like me, the nastiest stuff comes out of you when you're suffering, when you're in pain. This is that time for those imperfections. These are the times when we see whether we're lazy or we're unreliable, whether we're too controlling, whether we're bitter, whether we're malicious, whether we're selfish, or whether we're dishonest. And the list could go on. And so suffering is actually an opportunity for us to see those things rear their ugly head, to identify them, then to take them and give them to God as an opportunity to remove them from our life. And so as we ask these questions of suffering, have you asked yourself, where am I with God and how am I responding? Again, if you're experiencing suffering and you have those questions, I'd urge you to go to 1 Peter. It's just such an incredible book. I don't think there's a better book in the Bible that deals with this issue of suffering from beginning to end. So take some time maybe this week and read through that letter. Now, I don't just want to stop there and sort of identify that suffering is always good, because I know that there are some who right now, this suffering, this grief is leading you to a place where you are doubting God. Or maybe you don't yet have a relationship with Jesus and you think to yourself, well, this is a pretty good reason why I shouldn't believe that there is a good God, because I see all this suffering in the world. Well, I want to explain to you, I want to suggest to you, I should say, that while things are unfair, while things are unjust, it isn't just our experience, but it's Jesus's as well. There is no one who deserved the pain and suffering that Jesus deserved, let alone Jesus. You know, we might not understand all the sickness and suffering that we experience in this world. We just don't understand why it happens to some and not others, but that doesn't mean that God isn't active or that he doesn't understand. Jesus himself came to earth to live and die, to experience suffering and the full depth of it so that we would not have to. Jesus understands pain. He understands what it means to be without God because he was separated on the cross. He died. He experienced the suffering that comes from that. But he did it all with a plan. A plan that one day he would eliminate death and suffering. That there would be one day a day with no more pain, no more sickness, no more tears, but that there would be an experience of being in the presence of a good and loving God in perfection together. And so he went through the suffering to give you and I the opportunity to experience that. If you're suffering today and you do not have a personal relationship with a God who has gone through what you have gone through, if you feel isolated and alone, you need to know that you do not have to be alone. You do not have to wrestle with whether or not there is someone who can identify with you. You don't have to wrestle with whether or not there's a picture of a better future, because Jesus has brought that to you. And he wants to walk with you through what you're experiencing and lead you to a better place. If you want to receive what God would have for you, his word tells us that we just need to ask for forgiveness, because we are all people who, because of our sin, because of the way that we have lived from time to time, we should deserve death and suffering because we have brought about those things in the world. But Jesus was not satisfied, and he was remedied, And so he said, I've paid the price that you deserve so that if you ask for forgiveness and you choose to follow me, that I will grant you new life. If you want that today, all you have to do is turn to God, ask him for it, and he promises that he will give it to you, and he will meet you where you are and walk with you through everything. If you want to commit your life to following Jesus this morning, I would encourage you just on the right-hand side, if you're watching the live feed, there's an opportunity to say, I commit my life to Jesus. And I want you to click on that button, and then a form will pop up, and it's an opportunity for you to let us know that you've made that decision so we can celebrate with you, so that we can help you walk in this new life with Jesus, because you don't have to experience it alone. If you're watching this in another way where it's not live, but you can still reach out to us, and on the screen you'll see our phone number and our email, and reach out to us because we would love to celebrate with you and see what God has in store for your life. And what I love about all of this is the promise isn't just for a future, for a reality after death. Yes, there's a promise of eternal life, but what we're told is that God will grant us the grace that we need to get there, which means that he's going to give us everything we need along the way. God is with you. If there is ever anyone who tells anyone that we shouldn't experience sin, or that we shouldn't experience suffering because of sin, that we shouldn't experience brokenness, and that life will be all sunshine and rainbows, well, we know that that person isn't telling the truth. God never promises a life of skirting around suffering, but he invites us into a life where he will walk beside us through it, and he will carry us where we need to be carried. And so that's why I believe that one of the most important things as we experience this grief and this suffering is for each and every one of us to draw closer and closer with Jesus. We have an opportunity like we've never had before to experience the fullness of what he wants for us. And so I think what should happen is a spiritually wise person should develop practices within their life where they can experience more of Jesus and become more like him. Take this opportunity that you have right now with your time, with the change in things, to spend time praying, to read scripture, to fast, to worship God through song and through giving. Spend time alone with just him. Spend time in confession, confessing your sin to him. These are all opportunities we have to draw closer and closer. And as we do that, our grief will be transformed into a place of life. Our suffering will have the opportunity to refine us, to experience more of who Jesus is. Over the next few weeks, if you want to engage with these different rhythms, these different spiritual practices, each week we're going to put out a video. And you can find those videos on our Facebook page, our Instagram page, and there we're going to help give practical suggestions for how you can implement these different spiritual practices within your life. So make sure you're following us there, because we want to give you these real, tangible, helpful things that will help you grow in your life with Jesus. So today, remember that you are not alone, that you do not have to grieve without hope, that you do not have to experience suffering with no purpose, but that there is light and life that comes through the person of Jesus to encounter you exactly where you are, to change your life and bring flourishing today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the grace that you have given to us, the goodness of your presence in all seasons of our lives. God, right now I recognize that many in my church family and those around the world are going through incredibly difficult times. Lord, we're wrestling with painful feelings and heavy questions. Lord, would you grant us a sense of your presence? Would you bring us to a place where we can process those thoughts and feelings in a way that would be honoring of you, that would develop our relationship with you? Father, for those who are listening to this message without you, would you work in their hearts and draw them towards you, God, that they would know the peace and goodness of a life lived with you. God, be with each of us, but more importantly, would you bring yourself glory? Would you bring yourself honor and praise through the lives we lead in this season of grief and suffering? God, do this all by the powerful presence of your Spirit and in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.